feet are flat to dawn, with plenty of tailing fish.
And the perfect fly rod.
Yeah!
And get ready for some magic.
Oh, that's awesome eat, man!
I got one!
Oh, damn, I got him, I got him.
Join Bonefish and Tarpon Trust.
Nice fish.
And help make sure that the magic never ends. Visit tarbone.org to find out how you can help.
Boondoggle, boondoggle, boondoggle. What the heck's a boondoggle? Check out yachtangler.com, your ultimate kayak fishing resource.
Good Monday evening, everybody. I am your host of the Monday Night Kickoff Show, Charles Levi, also known as Redfish Chuck. On the line with me, I have my trusty sidekick, as always, Mr. Rob, a bad guy, cast the board. How are you, brother?
Good, man. How are you?
Fantastic, man. Fantastic.
Happy Monday.
Yeah, happy Monday to you, too. I got a lot of things to get to real quick before we go straight over to our guest. So let's take care of those little tidbits. I found a new spot. With more tarpon in it. This time they're bigger, so look for that. I'm going to be taking a bunch of pictures. I actually think I could probably get a kayak in where these fish are at, so really excited about that. But the big news, next weekend, the 23rd, I believe is next weekend, the 23rd, over at Fish on Fire Restaurant in Orlando, for any of you guys from Central Florida that might be listening either to the live show or to the podcast, Fish in Florida Radio, the Swamp Brothers from Discovery Channel and others are going to be celebrity bartending. I've been invited to join the cast of characters to do it's for Cancer Foundation, Cancer Foundation that the Swamp Brothers have put together. All the proceeds from the sale of the alcohol that we pour or spill or drink, I guess, will go to benefit the Cancer Foundation that the guys from Swamp Brothers have set up. So that's from 7 o'clock to 11 o'clock, again, at Fish on Fire over in Orlando. local guys, there's some pretty interesting talk going around that fishing tournament to benefit Cars Park over in Merritt Island. For those of you that don't know what Cars Park is, that is the main park where we would go to launch our kayaks for the No Motor Zone. I believe Orlando Kayak Fishing Club is kind of spearheading the event. It should be pretty good. There's a lot of folks very interested in it, obviously. For those of you that haven't fished the No Motor Zone, it's pretty awesome. Cars Park was originally made for the Kennedy Space Center employees to use with their families, but since they've opened it up to, I guess you'd just call it the public, and allowed us to go in there and fish and launch and stuff. So it's really cool. But, so look for that. I don't have a specific date on that. I don't think that they do either. But I do want to give a real quick shout-out to my buddies from England. I don't know if they're listening to the show tonight or not. Team England, as we affectionately call them. They just fished in a tuna tournament on the other side of the Gulf Stream. They took first place in billfish. They caught two blue marlin, and I know it's not kayak related, but I got to give them a shout out. It's awesome. They also took number one lady angler and second place in the slam division. So that was awesome. But cool. That's pretty much about all I got. The boondoggle stuff. Of course, we got to talk about the boondoggle. There's no better way to discuss the boondoggle than to kind of give you an idea of what the boondoggle is all about. Boondoggles are basically just a camping fishing trip that were set up between Kayak Fishing Radio and yakangler.com here in the States. I'm sure I have quite a few Canadian listeners to the show tonight, so we'll kind of fill you guys in. The idea of it is just to get kayakers together, families included, just bring more people together and give us an opportunity to fish in some pretty cool places with some of the best kayakers around. This next one we're going to is in Virginia Beach, over on the shores of the Chesapeake at First Landing State Park, so it's going to be pretty awesome. We've got the likes of Kayak Kevin, Rob Choi, I believe Chad Hoover's going to show up from Hook One. I know that the guys from Yak Angler are going to be there, Adam and Mark. Most of us from Kayak Fishing Radio will be there. And I think, we got the Loziers, of course, they're going to be there. So it'll be a lot of fun. We're going to be, I think the main target's going to be striped bass, big flounder, maybe some drum, maybe some spots, some other creatures that lurk in and amongst the Chesapeake. But real quick sound bite.
Boondoggle. Boondoggle.
Got me.
Boondoggle. What the heck's a boondoggle? Check out yachtangler.com, your ultimate kayak fishing resource.
I was going with this one.
Boondoggle. Boondoggle. What the heck is a boondoggle? It's a bunch of crazy kayakers getting together in Virginia Beach October 5th through 8th. For more information, check out yakangler.com, the ultimate resource for kayak fishermen.
All right. So there you go. Any more information you might would need about the boondoggle, feel free to check out yakangler.com, the ultimate kayak fishing resource. And also, it's on our page. I know we've got some information on it, too, with kayakfishingradio.com. I believe it's /boondoggle. But without further ado, we'd like to welcome our guest this evening to Kayak Fishing Radio. This lady is a well-respected blogger and professional fisherman. She's a part of the Hobie Fishing Team, sponsored by Rapala and their various companies. Straight out of Canada, You knew how to throw that in there. It's Ashley Ray. It's a pleasure to have you here tonight.
Thanks for having me, guys. Nice to hear from you.
Yeah, don't mind the sound bites. We get kind of crazy.
Wow, I feel popular now.
Yeah, hey, well, your blog says you are, so that's awesome. So I guess real quick, kind of tell us a little bit about yourself, kind of you know, obviously where you're from, your style of fishing and that kind of thing.
Well, first of all, as you mentioned, I'm from Canada, and I definitely say A all the time. So I'm from Ontario, and I got started kayak fishing just last year, and I actually like it more than any other style of fishing, but I do fish. I'm a multi-species angler, and I just love to fish for anything that swims. So, there's really no limitations to what I hope to fish for, and I just really love kayak fishing.
Sweet. What got you into a kayak?
Actually, it's kind of crazy. I was watching YouTube videos, and at the time, I fished out of a canoe occasionally. And then I started looking online, and I saw a YouTube video of somebody catching a marlin in a kayak. And you've probably seen it. They got towed out 7 miles.
Yeah.
And that was my inspiration, really. I mean, it's crazy because we don't have anything like that here to catch. But I thought that I could be independent with kayak fishing. It's cost-effective, and it's easy to just throw your kayak on the roof of your car, and you're good to go. So that's what got me started.
Sweet. Yeah, that was probably Jim Sammons in that video. I know that he's caught a couple of marlin, I believe, out of his kayak, and he's pretty much made it like the thing to do now is, all right, try and top me, you know, catch a marlin, right?
Yeah, that's exactly what it was.
Yeah, that guy's awesome, and he's a great ambassador to the sport. So what was how long have you been fishing, just fishing?
The very first time I fished was when I was 5 years old, and I was introduced by a family friend. My dad's friend owned a lodge, and every summer we'd go back, and his friend Arnold would take my brother and I fishing. So that's where it started, and then from there it was just, any time I had the opportunity to get out fishing with somebody, I would take it. And then as I got older, friends with boats, we'd go out, and then I joined a fishing club, a Bassmasters organization, and then it just kind of went crazy after that.
That's awesome. What was your, what was the first fish you ever caught?
Apparently, the first fish I ever caught was a bass, but I started off walleye fishing, and I don't have a favorite fish because I can't choose. Because whenever I start catching something new, I love it. So this past weekend I actually caught my first carp, and now that's all I can think about. I can't wait to do it again. So lately I've been catching carp and gar, but I just love to try and catch as many different species as I can.
Yeah, I've got a buddy of mine who targets carp. He's a land-based guy. He kayak fishes as well, but he also uses a flatboat, which is kind of funny, in the central part of the country. And he loves targeting carp on fly rod. Do you do any fly fishing?
I'm actually starting to get into fly fishing. I'm a beginner, but I do really love it. And, you know, I try to learn as much as I can from friends, but I've signed up for a few different courses just to learn from an instructor, because I think that it'll be essential to move forward with it. But I haven't caught a carp on a fly yet. But what I've been doing is sort of like, you know, catching things conventionally and then trying to catch them on the fly, because it's more of a challenge.
Right, get the species out of the way first and then worry about trying to get them on the fly. I like that.
Yeah, although actually that's not completely true, because I caught my first steelhead on the fly, and I caught my first brown on the fly, and that was something I wanted to catch them that way. I mean, I could have tried float fishing, but I wanted to stick to trying to catch them on a fly.
Completely jealous about a steelhead and a brown trout. I haven't got either one of those on a fly rod yet, but those are definitely two species on my hit list for sure. Do you have a hit list, so to speak, or like a bucket list of
I kind of call it my own fish list, because there's so many fish I want to catch. And I started out on my website making a list of all the fish I wanted to catch, but then I just realized that it would take me way too long to research all the different fish that I wanted to catch. So I instead just made a list of what fish I have caught, and just going to go from there and try and catch them all.
That's awesome. So I said earlier when we first started that you're sponsored by Hobie. Tell us kind of how you got hooked up with those guys, and you know, let us know what kind of boat you're in, which Hobie boat you actually use.
Well, with Hobie, what happened was I did research, and I just found that I canoed before, and I didn't really like paddling, so I found out about the Mirage Drive, the hands-free system that they have, and I figured that was my best bet. So I saved up for a Hobie, and I got the Outback. I just started using it, posting blogs and videos, and then Hobie actually contacted me through seeing, I believe, one of my videos or my website.
Very cool. That's awesome. It's even better. I would say a lot more rewarding whenever the company actually finds you, as opposed to you trying to go after them. I'm on a bunch of different pro staffs myself, and all of them, but just a few I pursued. So that's really cool. That speaks volumes for what they feel that you can do for them as far as the business is concerned.
Yeah, well, when I was contacted by them, I was so excited. I was actually jumping up and down because, you know, a lot of people said, oh, you should contact them. And I thought, like, you know what, I'd rather use the kayak and, you know, get experienced with it and just like it on my own rather than say, like, hi, I'm Ashley, give me a kayak. And, you know, I wanted to get out there and use it, because I believe that the best people to promote products are people that use the product. So sometimes people go looking for sponsors, but the best way to promote something is just to use it and believe in it, and then people will notice.
That's actually really funny that you brought that up, because a couple of weeks ago the topic of the show was sponsorships or how to get sponsored. And one of the misconceptions I think that a lot of anglers have is that you can just email 100 different companies, pick up a sponsorship or two out of those 100, and, you know, the rest is history. In reality, you'll get found out pretty quick if you're not, you know, who you say you are, if you're not legit to using their product, you know. And I don't know, I've found that there's been some anglers that I know personally that have jumped on pro staff opportunities and got caught kind of with their hand in the cookie jar using other stuff and that kind of thing. And yeah, you're 100% right. If you don't use the product, Don't even bother trying to go after them, or don't, if they call you, just be honest, you know. I think that's the best way.
Yeah, I mean, and I mean, there's different situations where, you know, you might try something new and really like it. So it really depends on the person and the situation. But I just think the best way for me has been use the products and believe in them. And then, you know, if that's something I wanted to pursue, then go from there. But I think it's more respectable too.
Yeah, absolutely. Now you said you like to target garfish. That's pretty interesting. To me, because down here in Florida, they're a nuisance. We've got those things literally everywhere. And
really?
Yeah, tons of gar. And, in fact, right now, it's kind of really crazy. We've gotten a lot of rain the last couple of weeks, or last couple of days, really, and which is a good thing for us fly fishermen, because the tarpon go absolutely nuts in these little residential ditches and canals and stuff.
So you're jealous of my steelhead and my brown, but you've got tarpon. I'm way more jealous of that.
Yeah, the tarpon are pretty cool. I mean, the ones that we're catching right now are little juveniles, but they're a lot of fun and real light tackle. But the salinity level in the water has been dropping and dropping and dropping and dropping with all the rain we've had. And as most people know, tarpon can breathe air. They don't have to breathe through the water. They can come up a big old gulf of air and that'll sustain them just as well. But one of the things that the lower salinity does do is it allows those garfish to move from ponds through the culvert pipes into these residential ditches and these canals and stuff. And they make to be kind of a nuisance at times when you're trying to throw a fly to a rolling tarpon and you got, you know, seven garfish chasing the fly around trying to eat it or trying to eat your fly line and stuff. It's fun. But you know what? I actually read in a magazine, I believe it was the Drake, they were talking about how garfish are one of the most underrated game fish to be pursued, whether it be by fly or by conventional methods. What's the biggest gar you've caught up there?
I would say probably 36 inches. But, I mean, everyone has a story that they, you know, the one that got away. So I have one of those that I hooked into one. And I started yelling for my friend to come over and help me because the fish was huge. And, you know, they're tricky. They have really sharp teeth, so you want to do it right the first time. So I called him over. He paddled over. And he took one look at it, and he actually said that it made him nervous. So he ended up grabbing it, but he couldn't get two hands around it. Like, it was huge. And it thrashed once and unhooked, and it was gone. So, you know, I'm still pretty heartbroken about that. But I'm guessing, like, around, you know, 36 inches or more. I don't usually measure them all. It's just, I just catch, photo release, and keep going.
Yeah, we've got a couple different species down here. We've got short-nosed gar, we've got alligator gar, which obviously are the giants that grow 6-7 foot long.
Wow.
Yeah, and we'll target them every now and again. One of our easiest ways to catch them, what we use down here, just take some yarn, just some, like, you know, craft yarn, and tie it to the end of a line. Sounds really dumb, but...
I've heard of that, actually.
Yeah. Use a little bullet sinker and just to give it some weight so you can cast it, and then pull it past their face, and they'll grab a hold of it, and since their teeth are so, like, needle-sharp, they get all hung up in the yarn, and you're not actually putting a hook in their face. It's kind of fun.
Is it hard to untangle them that way?
It can be a little tricky, but we've figured out that if you refine it down to just using a very short piece, maybe like an inch and a half, 2 inches, it's not that bad with a pair of pliers. You can just kind of unwind it and off they go. I actually think it's easier to do that than to try and get hooks out of their face. I've had close calls in a couple of nip situations where, you know, my finger got a little bit too close and they snap and get you. But they're a lot of fun down here. Like I say, because they're just literally everywhere. Every lake, every pond's got them. But,
that's crazy. They're not as popular here. I mean, I've just recently gotten into catching them, but like you said, they're underrated, and a lot of people are chasing walleye right now. So I just decided, you know, as soon as I caught my first gar, I just couldn't stop wanting to catch them, especially because I'm sight fishing, so I can sort of see a giant and try and catch it. So we have the long nose gar here.
Yeah, I've seen some of your pictures of some of those fish, and they're really colorful. It's definitely another one of those species that I would love to go after and try and target too, if I ever make it up that way. Would be a long nose gar. Do you ever target muskie?
Yeah, I do. I caught my first muskie last year. It wasn't in a kayak, but this year I'm hoping to get out and catch one in a kayak. I'm just a little bit nervous about it because there's some really huge ones here. I just want to make sure I have all the right equipment to make sure that I can release them properly, because you really need to be careful with them.
Yeah, there's a guy down here in the States in the South that targets muskie, and I can't remember his name for life of me, and he's going to be mad at me too because he's on the Jackson kayak team with me. But gosh, that he kills it. I mean, he catches giant muskie out of his kayak all the time, and it's just like, I'm so jealous because it just looks like one of those fish that you just have to try and, you know, target and go after at least once in your life, you know. That's the way I am with the steelhead, so.
I'm hoping to maybe do it this weekend because I just ordered a bunch of gear. I have a lip grip for them, and I just want to make sure that I can not get hurt doing it.
Yeah, you definitely got to be careful and take your time with them. It's like we've got a ton of fish down here that are the same way. Those types of fish that you just got to be real careful with. One of the big things going on down here now is a lot of guys are taking their kayaks off the beach, going out in the ocean down south, getting into really deep water real close to shore, and they're catching all kinds of fish like wahoo and dolphin fish or mahi-mahi and blackfin tunas and all kinds of things. But I saw a guy one time catch a big kingfish out of a kayak, and he thought it was dead. Yeah, he thought it was dead and put it in the boat with him. And it actually snipped at his foot and cut his big toe wide open. And it was pretty bad. But, fish handling is definitely something else that we talk about a lot here on the show. And proper fish handling techniques for sure. Rob, you still there, buddy?
Yeah, man.
I see him chatting it up there on the chat. I'm reading it.
Oh, yeah.
we fish with I remember talking about gar. I was swimming at Blue Springs one time. You know, I think that's over by Stanford or Popka or somewhere over there by Utah. And they were there was just I'm swimming down the spring, and you know, you have to understand, Ashley, that you know the springs that we have here, you know, it's like air clear water, and it's very, you know, cold for Florida. You know, in the summertime you go there, it's 72, you know, the water temp is 72 degrees year round. It's awesome. It's like the place to be in the summertime. So I'm swimming down the spring, and you know, I'm swimming with an entire school of gar. You know, I mean, there had to be like 100 of them. It was pretty cool. You could like actually reach out and, you know, grab a hold of them and stuff.
That's cool.
Yeah.
I've seen them schooled up, and recently, actually, I saw, you know, a lot of them, maybe not 100, but pretty close, and they were surfacing and then diving straight down. It was deeper water, and it was hard to get their interest because they were just, you know, something on the bottom. They were just going right down for it. It seemed like the perfect place with so many fish, with the opportunity to catch so many fish, but they just weren't into it.
It's weird. I've seen them a lot in freshwater, you know, bass fishing and such, and I could never get them to eat anything. You know, they're famous. At least for me, they're famous for chasing lures and staying about 2 inches behind it, and that's it. I could never get them to eat.
I tried a few different things because I've seen that, and I found I'm using the Rapala X wraps, and I'd cast beside them and then pull it by their face, and then if they didn't go for it, I'd either pull it away fast or just pause and pull. Like, and just, you know, something about it, they'll just react suddenly and smash it.
Is it like a reaction strike or something?
I believe so, yeah. Because I've, cool. You know, if I see one that's not interested, I'll try something else. And I've had fish turn and hit, so you just have to play around with them. It's fun.
Yeah, I like to target them whenever they're sitting in the current. To me, it seems that they're much more eager to eat when they've got some water moving past them. They can just sit there and kind of pick at the morsels as they go by. I got another question for you, actually. So you started your blog about how long ago?
I started my blog in, let me think here, 2009.
And how many active users do you have that go to it and read up on your stuff? I see that you had 78,996 visitors.
Yeah, it's
That's
crazy,
incredible.
And I honestly can't explain it, because it's to me, like, you know, it's kind of like a diary, really. I'm not selling anything on there. I'm just talking about my fishing adventures with friends and stuff like that. So the response has been really amazing.
And do you find that most of your followers are lady anglers, or is it kind of split between ladies and guys?
Well, it's definitely more men, because fishing is dominated by men, no question about that. But with social media now, it's really great because, you know, a lot of people say, oh, there's not too many girls that fish, but it's not true, because I see girls, you know, all the time fishing and posting pictures on Facebook, so, or, you know, Twitter or any other social media. So it's nice to be able to connect with people and see that, yes, there are lots of women out there fishing. So it's definitely changing.
Yeah, we've actually got another friend of the show. Her name is Brittany Nowalski, and she is the owner of Florida Sportswoman, which is a really cool concept that she came up with. It really kind of obviously targets the female demographic, and I've seen a spike in lady anglers here in Florida, and even more so, I think, now that she's gone on and done what she has done. By bringing the ladies together, she'll hold the seminar stuff where the emphasis is getting ladies out to the seminars and getting more active in the sport. And, in fact, she just fished one of the professional tarpon series events over in Boca Grande Pass, and her ladies team took first place in one of the events. So,
wow, that's amazing. I think I actually saw a picture of that. That's cool.
Yeah. So, you know, I think it's really cool. My wife loves to fish. We'll go out and we'll kayak together and stuff like that. And, you know, seeing the lady anglers getting out there and getting as involved as they are nowadays, to me, is like a testament to where the sport of kayaking especially is really going.
Yeah, I see a lot of women kayak fishing or even just kayaking. But once you get the opportunity for someone to take you out, it can totally change your hobbies, because a lot of times, you know, it just takes that one fishing trip, just a few hours on the water, and you can get somebody hooked.
You know, it's the thing is, it's a difference, though. I think there's always been women who fish, but nowadays it's more like, you know, before it used to be like, you know, women would say, well, you know, they'll go fishing because, you know, their husband or their boyfriend fishes or something like that. And I think it's now it's like there's more women that do it that are like, you know, got to get out there fishing, you know, like Jean,
yeah,
or like,
just born
yeah.
to fish.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I think it's, it's nothing but great for the sport. I think the sport has grown a lot over the last couple of years, especially with lady anglers, and especially in our area here. There are quite a few lady anglers in Canada.
Yeah, I think there are. I mean, I see it more and more all the time. I think just based on observation that there's a lot more in the south. But, you know, I could be wrong. It just takes people, you know, introducing their girlfriend or wife or kids or whatever. And from there, it can really blossom.
That's awesome. Have you had the opportunity to put on any seminars or anything like that?
Yeah, actually, this spring I put on about 15 kayak fishing seminars at two different trade shows. And they brought in a pool, like an above-ground pool for me, so I could actually be in my kayak doing the demonstration. And that was a really, really good experience. And I didn't fall out.
That's awesome.
See, I thought it was cool when I did my seminars. I just wear my PFD the whole time.
Nice.
That's good. We've got, I don't know, we've got a pretty good group of folks that are going to be at this next boondoggle. It'd be cool to try and get a boondoggle to go all the way up to Canada.
Yeah, it sounds really neat. I haven't done anything yet. Like, I haven't done any tournaments or anything, but I'm hoping to do some this year because I think it'd be really fun just to get together with everybody and talk about kayak fishing and see how crazy everybody is.
Yeah, that's pretty much, excuse me, that's exactly what it is. It's like we just had one down in the southwest corner of Florida down in Chokoleski, and we had 55 kayakers show up to that and from all over the country. And basically it's just like one big happy family that we go out, we fish, we come back, we eat, we sleep, we wake up, we fish, we come back, we eat, we sleep. And, you know,
sounds like a good life.
No, it is. It was just so much fun. And I don't know. I wouldn't be surprised if we didn't have close to 100 people at this next one up in Virginia Beach. It's going to be pretty killer. One of the guys, actually two of the guys in the chat room right now, Kayak Kevin and Mark Lozier, are going to be the lead dog, so to speak. I think I might even try and tie off to Mr. Lozier there and have him just tow me to where the fish are at, because those guys up there are on it, man, I'm telling you. It'd be cool to maybe have you come down, or if you ever get a chance to, you know, make it to the States and join us at one of these events. If we don't make it up there, trust me, you're more than welcome. Anybody who you fish with up there, we extend the invitation to our friends and our friends from the north as well. We don't
cool.
discriminate against Canadians. So.
Yeah, that would be an amazing opportunity. I'd definitely be up for that.
Hey, Chuck, who got the record last boondoggle for distance traveled? Do you know?
It was going to be Hammerhead again, but he
the
couldn't
guys,
make it.
I think the guys from...
He didn't
from,
make it back from the travel? Or?
No, he couldn't make it down to the trip.
That's
yeah,
good.
He came down to the Jacksonville one from New Hampshire.
The guys from New York, I think.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. The guys, Chris Parsons and all of those guys, I think they were the furthest travelers. So people come from, like, all over the place, man, for these. And we just have a blast, man. It's a lot of fun.
That sounds good.
Oh, awesome. They're growing every year. We're trying to really kind of push them as much as we can and kind of get the word out that, you know, it's just a lot of fun. It's a great way to get people involved in the sport. We invite people to come out who don't even have kayaks because there's always somebody there who's got extras. And, it's just a good time, you know. And that's kind of, I think, that would lead well into the next question. What to you is the kayak fishing lifestyle? What does the kayak fishing lifestyle mean to you?
To me, I mean... I guess I do a lot of different types of fishing, so I'm not limited to just kayak fishing. But with that said, I've turned down tons of, opportunities. Like my friends calling me up saying, do you want to go out in the boat? And I say, no, I just want to go out in my kayak. So it's just peaceful, and it's a nice way to connect. I feel like it's just me versus fish, and I don't know. It's also great exercise. I mean, I don't really talk about that too much because, you know, there's a lot of people that don't really care about exercise when they're fishing, but you get out there and, you know, especially with the Hobie, you get a great leg workout and you're not even thinking about it because you're just determined to fish. So it's, it's my favorite for sure.
Yeah, I think a lot of us, I'm one of those that is probably on a boat. Not quite near as much time, but pretty close to as much time as I'm in a kayak. I spend a lot of time in boats, but for me, I think I fell in love with kayaking personally because, as you said, it's more interactive with the fish. It's truly you versus them, you versus nature, the whole bit, and it's just, it's a lot of fun, man. It's just, I don't know, we could talk on and on and on and on about the benefits, for sure.
I know, and you kind of forget about all the benefits, because, like, in my seminars, I try to give a lot of information and why I like it, but there's so many things that you don't think of because you just do it. But one of the big things for me is also how stealth it is. I mean, I've seen so many fish at the kayak because they're not afraid of it. There's no noise, no splashing. So you have more opportunity to catch those fish before a big loud motor comes up and scares them away. At least here, I mean, you guys probably do a lot of ocean fishing, open water type stuff, but for me, I've seen some of the biggest fish just sitting, you know, a couple feet away from me.
Well, I mean, some of the bodies of water you guys have up there to fish are like little oceans, so...
Yeah, that too.
and to try and target some of those fish. But do you target walleye? Have you ever targeted walleye out of the kayak?
Yeah, I've been catching them lately. Where I live is on the Bay of Quinte, which is really well known for walleye. So all of the walleye, well, I mean, there's a huge migration of walleye that come into the bay in the fall. So it's just an amazing fishery. My personal best walleye is 15.2 pounds. So, I mean, it's a great location, and it really draws people in. You can fish for them through the ice as well, which is another favorite type of fishing I have.
That's a huge walleye. I tell you what, it's funny. I've got some friends that come down from time to time from up north, and one of the things that they always do is always bring down a bag of walleye and a bag of frozen walleye fillets, and I usually trade them out some dolphin fillets or tuna fillets for it because it's just so tasty. But
yeah, it is. I don't really eat a lot of fish because I mostly just catch and release, but I have had walleye, and it's really tasty.
Yeah, that's awesome. So what else do you have going on? Do you have anything coming up, any cool events that you're going to be speaking at, or any kind of demo days or anything like that you're going to be doing?
Not really at the moment. I have a few things that are possible, but presentations and that are more done in the spring here. Trade shows. And I know I'll be doing more next year, but for now, as for fishing, really, that I can think of, on Friday I'm going to a public or an elementary school here and reading a book to the kids, kindergartens, about fishing. So
uh-huh,
I'm excited
awesome.
For that.
Yeah, very cool. Are you going to try and attend ICAST?
Oh, that is one thing I really want to do. I'm hoping to someday, but I don't have plans for it right now. But I'm really, really hoping to make it there sometime.
Yeah, it's an awesome show. This year, obviously, it's here in Orlando, about 25 minutes from my house.
Oh, lucky.
Yeah, totally lucky for it. But and then next year, I think it's going back to Las Vegas again. And it'd be cool to see. If we can get a better turnout this year here, especially from the female anglers. A couple of years ago, when they had it here, it was, it was pretty lackluster. I mean, as far as that goes, I think that the only ladies that I saw there, the only ladies I could tell that were anglers were maybe two or three professionals that had, you know, jersey-type, you know, uniforms on. Everybody else just seemed to just be there with, like, their husbands or whatever like that, and some of the booths, there was some professional lady anglers in it as well, and I think that that's really one of those things I think we're going to start seeing a big difference in is not so much of the publicity of the male angler. I think that you're right on target, and you're like in the perfect timing to do what you're doing. The sport seems to be trying to evolve to incorporate the female angler a lot more. Do you see that at all coming from a professional background? I mean, do you feel like you're treated the same through your vast companies that you're sponsored by as, say, the next guy?
All my sponsors are really respectable and treat me really well. I mean, everyone seems to be really excited to see someone, you know, like myself, being really enthusiastic about it. I don't really feel like I'm treated differently. I mean, I do feel a warm welcome for sure, but yeah, I don't know. Everyone's been really great about it, so I just feel like, you know, one of the team, I guess, is the best way to...
Yeah, well, that's good, and that's the way that it should be. I know that a few years ago, I spoke with the lady who has written a couple of fly tying books, and she had told me over here at a local shop that for the first, like, 5 or 10 years of her professional career as a fly guide, that she had a hard time getting the bookings that she wanted because just because of the fact that she was a lady. And and now, I mean, you can't even book the lady. She's booked solid for like a year and a half in advance. So, yeah, it's good to see. I'm really, you know, excited about the growth of the sport on that side of things. And I just think it's really cool that you've got 79,000 people that have been to your website. That's incredible, or whatever number it was. It was something ridiculous like that.
It's unbelievable to me, and I can see stats on the site. So, I mean, I see the search terms and that, but it's, yeah, I can't believe it. So I look at it, you know, I'm probably going to write a blog tonight, actually, because I had a really cool weekend of fishing. But it's just, I don't know, I can't explain it. It's just kind of like my diary, and people read it, so I'm really thankful.
Well, tell us about your weekend of fishing.
Well, I'm not going to tell you too much because you have to read my blog, but I caught my first carp and my first smallmouth bass in the States. I mean, I've caught tons of smallmouth bass, but we went over to the New York side in Niagara Falls, and we caught some smallmouth, and that was really fun.
That's awesome, and we'll leave it at that, like you say, so that we have to go to the blog and read the rest of the story.
Yeah, there's some really awesome pictures.
Yeah. Do you have a dream kayaking location? Like, if you could pick one place to go to kayak fish with a kayak, where would you go?
Oh, I don't know. That's hard. I mean, I can't choose. I just can't, because it's like, you know, when people ask me what's my favorite fish, there's no way I can answer that, because I just love catching a new fish, or, you know, succeeding in catching, you know, I'm just happy to catch anything. So I can't say where my dream fishing trip would be, but I just want to go to as many places as I can when I can.
Very cool. Rob.
Yes, sir.
You've got a popular blog as well. One of the things that I was actually really excited to ask you, Ashley, is that I'm thinking about starting a blog, and do you have any tips, or do you have any, knowledge that you can drop or upon the folks that are listening to the show that either have a blog or are thinking of starting a blog, and, you know, the do's and don'ts or any of that kind of thing?
Yeah.
Sorry, go ahead.
Absolutely. I mean, I think that you should probably, you know, just, you know, first of all, if you can write halfway decent, that's always a good thing. If you're not sure, have Mr. Becker, you know, proofread it for you. just write from the heart, man. You know, that's what people like, man. They don't, you know, be honest in your reviews and stuff. And that's, I don't know, that's what I would say. I thought you were asking me, Chuck. Sorry.
No, that's okay.
How about you, Ashley?
What Rob said is really good. You know, I would offer the same advice, and also that, like he said, you know, straight from the heart. My blog, although I do have sponsors, is not a marketing pitch or, you know, buy this, buy that. It's just an adventure of, you know, the story of the adventure of what I did, and that's the goal of my blog. I mean, it's She Loves to Fish, so I talk about, you know, my day, what happened, how it made me feel. And I do offer, you know, education as well, but it's not, my goal isn't to sell things, it's just to talk about the experience, and that's that's what I love about fishing. So, and like you said too, just make sure that you check the spelling, because I read a lot of things, and you know, when you see a whole bunch of mistakes, sometimes it takes away from it. Pictures are great, videos are great. It's nice to get out with friends, and also, you know, if they have a blog, you can kind of shout out or stuff like that.
Speaking of video, do you do any video of your trips now, or do you have plans to do any of those in the future?
I do have a YouTube channel. It hasn't really been active lately, but I do hope to do more video. I'd actually like to get some GoPros or some cameras that I can rig in my kayaks. After seeing Rob's video, that was really cool. I wanted to do something like that.
Cool, very cool. Give us a quick, kind of shout-out to yourself. What's your, plug your YouTube channel and your blog.
You can find it on my website, shelovestofish.com, or it's youtube.com/AshleyMRae. So if you don't want to remember that, just go to my website.
What was I going to say? Yeah, the GoPros are cool. I think they've definitely helped to change the way that we document what we do on the water. Between the GoPros, Swans, the Canons, the Nikons, all the different cameras that are out there now. Again, going back to who's in the chat room, Kayak Kevin, are you familiar with him?
Are you talking to me?
Yeah.
Let's see.
Kayak Kevin is the man as far as kayak fishing videos.
Yeah, if you
okay, cool.
Seen...
I'm sorry. I'm just looking at it now. I was reading it at first, but then I got into the conversation. Sorry, Kevin. I'm not rude.
No problem. If you haven't seen any of Kevin's videos, he has pretty much, spearheaded the entire video, your kayak excursions, and make them awesome. Kind of movement, if you will. He's done a bunch of different DVDs, and every one of them is better than the next. And it's kind of cool because, yeah, it's super awesome. He's done a couple of crazy trips where he's, paddled, great distances and filmed the entire thing. And then, yeah, I see what Lois just said, who is Kai Kevin Wright? And then he also does cool things, like he adds his buddies into his videos and kind of gives them quick little plugs. And watching what those guys do in the Chesapeake and off the beach up there is just ridiculous. You definitely have to check out his videos. It's crazy.
What's his website? Because I want to check it out.
Kevin is I think it's kayakkevin.com, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Cool. Give him a shout out. I feel bad.
He's typing right now. He's laughing. But no, what's really cool is, or what might not be so cool, is that with all the video footage that he's done, all these giant fish that he's shown that he's caught in the Chesapeake, and him being friends with Mr. Lozier and Rob Choi and all those guys up there, they really have to step it up, this boondoggle. I got to say that if I get up to Virginia Beach and the fishing sucks, I'm going to be pretty disappointed. driving 14 hours up there to go fish with the legends themselves, and
you'll just have to stay until you succeed, I guess.
Well, actually, I got to tell you, they got a lot of swag to acquire between now and then, because Chuck had about 4 bingo tables full of gear to give away at our raffle on Saturday night, and and it was like bending branches, paddles, deep south fishing rods. I mean, all sorts of stuff. What else did you have there, Chuck? I mean, it was just an insane amount. I mean, I just couldn't imagine. It looked like a flipping, like a flea market with brand new gear. It was awesome.
Yeah, it was pretty cool.
Stuff. I mean, it was crazy. There's a whole list of the sponsors and people that donated gear to that at the end of the Boondoggle movie there, or the video that I made. On my site there. That was just insane, though, man.
Yeah, that was a that's something else too. I think that a lot of the big manufacturers are really starting to look at us kayakers as a legitimate source of revenue, and they understand that. I think that this form of fishing is really taking off, and it's kind of next level. Because we don't have the, you know, $50,000, $60,000, $70,000 flat boats and the insurance payments and the gas bill and all the other stuff, we can spend more money on our tackle and things like that. And so when it comes time to ask for donations for anything kayak related, really, a lot of these companies really step up and do the right thing. But let me hit this button real quick. I gotta talk about the boondoggle. Let's hit this again.
Boondoggle.
Boondoggle. What the heck is a boondoggle? It's a bunch of crazy kayakers getting together in Virginia Beach, October 5th through 8th. For more information, check out yakangler.com, the ultimate resource for kayak fishermen.
There you go. But that voice you just heard there, that's our good friend Mr. Steve Chapman from Fishing Florida Radio, which is a local fishing radio show that's played on our AM channel down here, 740 The Game, which you can pick up online if you should ever feel the need to listen to an American fishing show on a Saturday morning, Ashley.
Well, you never know.
Yeah, 740 The Game.
I could listen to it in my kayak on my phone.
Or maybe even Steve might even have you on as a guest. You've been a great guest for me, so I'm throwing that out there, Steve, so you better pick up on it.
Cool, thank you.
But, yeah, absolutely. But so what else is going on? So you don't compete yet in tournaments, but you're looking to maybe do so?
Yeah. I used to fish in bass tournaments, like in a boat. But once I got into kayaking, I sort of just focused on that. And now I just promote recreational fishing because that's what I love to do. And but I do look forward to trying some kayak tournaments. Because like you said, it's great to get together and meet people. And kayaking isn't huge around here. I do know people that do it, but I think it'd be fun to meet up with other people that share that same crazy passion, because a lot of times people think I'm nuts, but it'd be nice to have, like, you know, the support group going.
Yeah, and that's exactly what we call each other, our support group. Like, if we don't get on the water enough, Rob will call me on the phone, or I'll call Rob, and vice versa. And then I call, like, Adam from yakangler.com, and I gripe to Adam, man, the wind's still blowing, it's raining, it's miserable. I'm going to go stand on a ditch corner and hopefully catch something on land because, like, I just can't stand to not be on the water. So, yeah, it's
I know what you mean.
But, you know what, like I say, if you get a chance, I know it's obviously short notice and you probably won't be able to make this one, but if you can, feel free to fly on down and you don't even have to worry about gear or any of that kind of thing. We've got more than enough people who are loaded down with stuff. So
as long as I can have a hobby, because I'm, you know, kind of spoiled and biased, and I don't like to paddle that much. So, you know, if I could have a hobby, then I would do it.
Is it like a rule? Like if you live north of the Mason-Dixon line, you have to use a hobby? Because it seems like everybody that I know, like when Hammerhead was up there broadcasting live up at the Jamaica Bay tournament there, it seems like everybody up there, that's in New York, and everybody had hobies up there, man. It's like some sort of a rule or something. You can't kayak fish up north unless you have a hobie.
Yeah, I don't know. They're popular. Actually, the guy who won that tournament is on my Facebook, and he keeps messaging me, hey, you should come and do the next one. So I think I'm going to have to take him up on it this year.
Yeah, that's a great tournament. I know it benefits Casting for Recovery and a bunch of other different things, and they get a giant turnout up there. We've got a tournament down here that would be cool to have you come down to. It's the Jacksonville Classic. Yeah, the Jacksonville Classic here in Jacksonville, Florida. It's the state's largest fishing tournament. That's including boaters.
Didn't they have like 700 kayaks in the water?
I don't know.
It was something crazy like that. Yeah,
between 400 and 700 kayakers or something like that, and they all come from all different states and stuff to come down and do it. And it's like, I think that the raffle prizes and the prizes themselves are like the main reason why anybody even goes. the competition is pretty hard to beat. You're talking some of the best kayakers in the Southeast are going to be there just because, and, you know, you're fishing against locals, and that area there is just really tough to fish if you're not used to it. But no, for sure, I would almost guarantee you that there's going to be somebody at the Boondoggle who's probably affiliated with Hobie, and I'm sure they've probably got extra boats. If not, I'm sure between Kayak Kevin's connections and Mr. Lozier's connections and some of the other guys, one of the shops up there, I would imagine, sell them. I'm sure that we can get one demoed out.
That'd be amazing. Now, I have a question for you guys, because obviously you do a lot of tournaments. I'm trying to work on getting one here with the help of someone else who runs tournaments. And what kind of, like, if you guys, would you guys consider coming here for a tournament? And if so, what kind of prizes, like, what would entice you to come?
I would probably be hard to get to go to a tournament anywhere north of, say, Georgia. I've got young kids, and to get the time off to go and do something like that would be kind of hard. I would do it. You know what? I'll be honest with you. The only tournaments that I'm even remotely interested in are the ones that give back to charity. And I'm not saying give like 2% back to charity, or like 15% of all monies, you know, made go back to charity. I'm talking like 90% or even more. I mean, obviously, you have to cover your costs, but those types of things really, really entice me. And you know, if the tournament was held for the right reasons, as I just said, I would for sure try and make it. If nothing else, even just to go to the captain's party, buy a bunch of raffle tickets, and watch everybody fish the next day. So, Rob, what do you think?
Oh, I don't fish tournaments, man. I'm terrible at them. But I love, like you said, I love going to the captain's parties and the raffle things and just hanging out and watching people fish, videoing people. And that's the, you know, I just want to bring out a bunch of cameras and do that kind of stuff, man. That would be a lot more fun to me than fishing in the tournament.
Yeah, and well, prizes, you know, I found personally that guys get more excited about the opportunity to win a new boat than they do about winning cash most of the time.
Yeah, I personally would.
Yeah, kayaks really, truly are basically like winning a cash prize anyway, because if you won a, let's just say for argument's sake, you won a Hobie that's $2,400 or whatever, you know for a fact that you can sell that thing next week for $2,000. You know what I'm saying? it's just as good as having a cash prize, really. But, you know, getting the sponsors to kind of step up and donate a bunch of really good prizes, keeping the entry pretty low, I think that's something that some of the other tournament organizations have kind of missed the mark on, and that's keeping the cost low. I mean, we're kayakers at the end of the day.
Yeah.
You know, we're not obviously
we're cost effective.
Thank you very much. And
and also it's like, you know, accommodations, things like that. I like a good deal on accommodations because most people would travel.
Yeah, I mean,
I've seen different tournaments where they have camping.
Yeah, if you got something set up where, like, you got, like, a group rate, or, you know, hey, accommodations are being provided by blah, 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 everyone's going to get, like, 30% off their stay or whatever like that, then, yeah, for sure. And I know that there's a ton of kayak anglers that that would travel over boundaries to go and pursue what, you know, what it is that we do, especially in the right event. So, Canada is definitely on my list of places to get back to. I've been to Canada a couple of times when I used to live in New York, and it's definitely a place I want to get back to and actually fish. I've never fished there. I get sick on Saturday mornings when I watch the fly-in type shows where guys fly into like these little tiny lakes and they're loaded up with all kinds of cool fish, and you know, most of them have never even been touched by man, it seems, and it's just very picturesque. So for that in itself, it would be well worth going.
You know what I like to see up there, Chuck, is like watching shows on World Fishing Network and things like that is the different styles of fishing, like different ways that people go fishing, you know. And it's amazing to me, you know, why, you know, I always got to know the reason why for everything. And I'm like, you know, why does that guy put his rods and the rod holders upside down and sticks his hips in the water while he's trolling and stuff? You know, I mean, I'm like, really?
Yeah, so. Yeah, that's funny that you brought that up, man, because I watched a show when this guy was trolling. I think he was trolling for walleye or something, and he had like 15 rods on the boat. It was the craziest thing I've ever seen. And
I have friends who do that, honestly.
God, that is just the craziest thing I've ever seen. And the rods are like half submerged in the water. I'm like, what is going on right now?
Yeah, I think those ones are on a downrigger.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy because everything we do here is obviously so much different.
And the gear is so much different too.
Yeah, like the
gear. They're using like Lund boats and you know, like the butt end is of the rod is sticking up. You know, I mean, it's just all kinds of crazy stuff that I've never seen. And I lived up north too. You know, I mean, I used to live in upstate New York and fish all sorts of seasons up there, man. And I never saw stuff like that. That was crazy.
Have you
guys ever ice fished before?
Yeah, I have, man. I used to love it.
Cool.
I've talked to
different Americans that think I'm insane.
No,
for liking it.
I've been in Florida since 84, man, and it's like if I ice fish now, I'd probably like implode, you know.
I could tell you that my first experience on the ice was very interesting. I had an uncle who was big into it, and he had one of those little huts that he had set up out on the ice, and like that was the big thing. Let's all go out on the ice, and oh, okay, cool. And like you're kind of skittish because you don't want to fall through, and he's like running across the ice to get to his little shack because the bite's about to really go off, and he knows this because all the years he's fished or whatever. And we go in, and it's like a nice little cozy little thing. And he lights a fire on the ice. And I'm like, this doesn't make any sense. Why are you trying to melt the ice? And I was a kid, so I mean, I didn't know any better. But that, like, really kind of tripped me out that here's a fire to keep us warm. But the whole idea is to be careful not to fall through the ice. Let's melt it, why don't we? So, I don't know. But it was awesome. We caught perch. We caught pickerel. We caught walleye. We caught... what else did we catch? I don't know. We caught all kinds of fish, and it was really kind of interesting. And I don't know. It was different, to say the least. If somebody asked me, would you go ice fishing again? Absolutely, I would in a minute. But it's such a weird style of fishing. It really is. The fish are so lethargic, or at least they were for me, and. You know, you get them, you bring the poor things up through the little hole, and you pull them off the hook, and the ones you want to keep, you just kind of just throw them next to the hole. And, you know, you're not worried about a cooler, obviously, because the ice is going to keep them cold. But, yeah, it was definitely strange for me. But I loved it. It was awesome.
Yeah, it's a really fun experience. I do it, you know, I've been doing it for probably three or four winters now. This past winter was not that cold, so I was still out quite a bit, but the fact that it was so warm, there's just open water in so many places that we'd normally get the opportunity to fish, so it was tricky this year.
Yeah. It'd be cool to film, like, people's reactions if you were to, like, be sitting in the middle of a frozen lake in a kayak.
My friends are always saying that. They're like, bring your kayak out and we'll dump you in the open water because all the fish are over there. I'm like, no, no. Not that extreme, but I thought about it.
One of those hidden camera shows or something where you're just like, everyone's coming out to their little spots in the ice and you're sitting there already in a kayak on top of the ice, just sitting there like, nothing's wrong. Like, this is totally normal. That would be funny.
She's the one that's led to get your gear out there.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, I'm hoping this year to fish really late because, like I said, on the Bay of Quinte, the walleye migrate in the fall. So, you know, basically you can fish up until the ice freezes and then continue fishing once it's solid. But I've been out this past winter, and we took a boat out, and we had to break through ice to get out to the open water. So the walleye fishing is just on fire in the fall. So I'm hoping to get out in the kayak this year and troll and get some big walleye.
That's sweet. And I know, I think Scott, didn't Scotty make small downriggers for kayak?
I'm not sure. I know there's different companies, but I haven't looked into it yet, if they have them. I basically have my kayak right now just as is with a fish finder on it, but I want to, like I said, get the GoPros or a similar camera and start adding things to it. But I just found it pretty fishable as it is.
And what kind of, I never even asked you, do you have a specific rod and reel company that you like to use, or are you sponsored by a rod and reel company?
Yeah, actually, I use Rapala. They have rod and reel products, which a lot of people aren't aware of, but they have great products. They can help me fish year-round. So I caught my carp on one of their rods, trolling, anything. So it's good.
Oh, very cool. See, and I did not know that.
No, and a lot of people don't. It's funny.
Yeah, you taught me something today. That's really cool. I didn't know about tackle, which isn't surprising, really. I've been kind of out of the loop for a little bit, but I'll have to check it out. Hopefully they'll have some of their stuff at ICAST this year.
I'm really impressed by the rods and reels they have. A lot of my friends, some of my friends don't even know about their products. So on the weekend, I was showing them the rods, and they were impressed, and they were, they fish almost every day. So it's nice to get that feedback from people that are really experienced on the water.
Right on. Well, cool. We've come to the end of our hour. I can't believe it already.
Wow, yeah, that went by quick.
Yeah, it went by really quick. You're a great guest, and I appreciate you coming on and taking the time to talk to us. Please feel free at any time to call us back and be on the show anytime. We've got 5 shows during the week, I know you'd be more than welcome to any of those shows. So,
cool, thank you very much.
No, absolutely. And do me a favor, please, plug your website again and any of your sponsors. If you want to give them quick little plugs too, that's fine.
Yeah, so if you want to check out my website, and I would really appreciate it if you did, and if you, the website is shelovestofish.com, and on there you can find my Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and my sponsors that are really supportive, and thanks again for having me on the air. I really appreciate it, and you guys were fun to talk to.
Oh, no, thank you very much, and feel free to hang on the line if you want to and kind of listen to the end of the show. I go through this big wrap-up thing and kind of go through some last-minute details and stuff. But thanks again so much. And like I say, feel free to call us anytime.
Thank you. Take care.
All right. Yeah, you too.
Bye.
All right. See ya. So that was awesome. Rob, she was a great guest.
Yeah, I told you, man. I thought she would be.
Yeah, that was good. Let's see.
Boondoggle.
Boondoggle. What the heck is a boondoggle? It's a bunch of crazy kayakers getting together in Virginia Beach, October 5th through 8th. For more information, check out yakangler.com, the ultimate resource for kayak fishermen.
Very cool. And again, guys, if you don't plan on showing up to the boondoggle, or if you haven't thought about showing up to the boondoggle, do so. It's going to be a lot of fun. I'm sure the food is going to be absolutely amazing. And food will be amazing. Fellowship will be amazing. It'll be good. Fishing will be fantastic, as promised by Mr. Lozier. So,
what sort of a low country boil are we looking at this time? Anybody know?
It's Chesapeake, dude. They don't get crawfish. Those guys up there have blue crabs and.
Is it crabs and clams or what?
I don't know.
Instead
what
of shrimps
Lozier?
And...
Pipe up. I don't know.
Give him a second to jump in the chat room there.
I don't know. Is I don't know, do we have one of our Louisiana friends coming up with some boudin or something?
Yeah, probably. Russ, the Salt Warrior is usually good for the boudin.
Is Russ going?
Probably.
Awesome. Up barbecue. Now we're talking.
Barbecue. Okay.
Yeah, you can keep the low country boil. I'll just eat barbecue.
Wow.
And crab cakes, he says. Crab cakes, barbecue, and oysters. Well, I'm not a big fan of oysters, but I'll definitely get down on some crab cakes and some barbecue. So, yeah, guys, again, October the 5th through the 8th, it'll be awesome. Stuff striper. Okay. Well, how about some stuff flounder? Can I get an amen?
Looking for a group of kayak anglers to share your kayak fishing adventures with? Check out yachtangler.com, your ultimate fishing resource.
There you go. And then the other thing I got to hit real quick, guys, FloridaSportsman.com has a really, really cool tournament going on, offshore division and an inshore division. And here's a little something about that, including a little song, a little ditty.
Hi, y'all. This is Bonita Bob Bramblett inviting you to participate in the Florida Sportsman Kayak Fishing Challenge. Win a Hobie Revolution brought to you by Sierra River Outfitters, as well as weekly prizes by Deep South Fishing Rods and Yak Attack. For more details, check out FloridaSportsman.com.
One more cast, one more travel fish on.
Other than that, man, great show. I appreciate our guest Ashley Ray coming on. And again, guys, check out her blog, please, and show her some support. She came on the show here from all the way from Canada. Took her time out of the evening to join us, so that was really cool. Rob, thanks for setting that up, buddy.
No problem, man.
And
what about your celebrity shindig you got going on?
Yeah, I'm not done with that yet, dude. Settle down.
Okay.
I don't have a audio clip for that because I couldn't save the one that Steve Chapman sent me. But we're going to have a next weekend, next Saturday, from 7 to 11 at Fish on Fire in Orlando. Come on out and see the world-famous Three Amigos plus one. And the Swamp Brothers from Discovery Channel. And, I'll be there helping, as Steve Chapman says, slinging drinks, getting my drink on. And all the money raised will be donated to the Swamp Brothers Cancer charity that they've set up. I believe it is, I don't remember. Steve, help me out, buddy. Please.
And there's some kind of a vodka
that you're
going to be swinging.
Tito's handmade vodka.
Oh my God.
This is a family oriented show. Typically, I would not promote alcoholic beverages, but since we're all pretty much alcoholics anyway.
Sorry, Chip.
In advance, Tito's handmade vodka is by far the best vodka that I've ever consumed. And I'm not just saying it because Steve Chapman's in the chat room and that I'm going to be pouring the drinks with Tito's vodka. I was interested. I was introduced to Tito's vodka by my wife's cousin, Andy. And yeah, Tito's, he says, he's sitting on the couch over here. And stuff is good, man. It's damn good. And, in fact, I think we're going to try and make Tito's the official vodka of the boondoggle. I'm going to see if I can somehow or another coerce to find people from Tito's to help me make that happen.
God.
Dude, I'm telling you, it is the answer. If your wife or you like vodka and they like the top shelf stuff, such as Grey Goose and Belvedere. Don't pay for Grey Goose and Belvedere. Get Tito's. I'm telling you.
Do you think it's going to edge out the Sweetwater Blue as an unofficial official drink of The Boondoggle?
Yeah. Dude, I didn't even drink any of the Sweetwater Blue last time.
Oh,
actually,
man. Dude.
Actually, my boy Scuba Sam's not in the chat room tonight, but him and Holly introduced me to the sweet tea vodka and lemonade last time, and that was pretty bad. Not bad as in it tasted bad, but it was bad because I found myself constantly walking past their tent site hoping to get my cup refilled. But no, it should be a great time, had by all. I know there's going to be a ton of people there. It'll be pretty crazy. But, yeah, if you guys are in the Central Florida area and want to come on out and support a great cause, the Swamp Brothers are going to be there, doing the thing for their cancer charity. And they also do a big paddle-in down in Miami. They do this paddle trip where they take kayaks and go from Miami down to Key West. And
wow.
Yeah, and they do this to raise money. This might be something that you, that Kai Kevin might be interested in getting involved in. Maybe Mr. Lozier. Hopefully we can get Mr. Chapman to sit his butt in the kayak and maybe join these guys. I'd love to get involved in it and paddle with those guys and try and raise some money for a great cause. So, but other than that, man, it's going to be crazy. So join us, Fish on Fire in Orlando. Next Saturday from 7 to 11 at night. It'll be fun. But other than that, man, like I said earlier in the beginning of the show, found a new spot today. It was kind of funny. My buddy calls me, and he's like, dude, I'm at Wendy's. I'm like, so? He's like, I'm in the drive-thru. I'm like, okay. He goes, there's tarpon rolling right next to the drive-thru. I'm like, what? And he's like, no, seriously, I swear, there's tarpon that are rolling right here next to the drive-thru. I'm looking at 5 and 10 pounders right now. So I don't know. Considering the source, who is my boy? I should have believed him. I didn't believe him. So I had to roll over there and check it out. And sure enough, I parked the truck, got out, walked over, and there were about probably 30 or 40 of them that were just having a good old time rolling around in a ditch right next to Wendy's. So the ditch is kind of wide, man. I think I might be able to fit the kayak in there for some video opportunity, but I'm looking to do that a little bit. I just got a couple of really good reports I'll share real fast, and then we'll call it a night. If you're fishing Central Florida, you want to try and get on some good redfish, a good redfish bite and trout bite and have an opportunity at some nice flounder. The culverts that are in Titusville that go all the way around the wildlife refuge are spewing water, and the fishing has been phenomenal. Lots of slot-sized redfish, lots of oversized trout, even a few flounder have been caught. And the flounder have been nice. They've been 18 to 20-some-odd inches, so good-sized fish. Get out there. Most guys are using most guys are throwing live bait. They're throwing finger mullet up into the culvert, but you can pick all these fish up on any kind of soft plastics or hard baits you want to throw. I think that they're pretty aggressive at this point, feeding on whatever's coming out of those culvert pipes. And I picked up a bag of the SST paddle tails from Slayer Inc. the other day. And I'm really excited about trying them out. And, yes, I got them in Root Beer Gold Flake, Mr. Lozier. And I can't wait to try them out. They look pretty good. Got a big giant paddle on them, so they should throw off quite a bit of vibration. But that would be my bet, man. Is if I were a betting man, I'd send people over to the culverts, throwing either topwater plugs into that wash water or soft plastics, live bait if you want to go that route, if you're a bait chucker. That's about it, man. That's all I got, man. I'm about talked out for tonight. But, Rob, man, I appreciate you joining me, as always.
No problem, man. You got it.
And,
man.
Yeah. And, here's my sponsor bit real quick. Yeti Coolers. Thank you. Jackson Kayaks. Bending Branches Paddles. Tackle Webs. Captain Mike Ortigo. The man, the myth, the legend himself. Check out tacklewebs.com for your tackle storage needs for your kayak. Mike's a great guy. He's one of the three amigos from the Fishing Florida radio show. So show the man some love. Those guys support us more than you guys, I think, understand. So, you know, it'd be great to show him some love back. So who else do I got? I think that's about it. Whatever. If I forgot about you, I'm sorry. I'll mention you next week. All right, guys, I'm done. And, ICAST, July. If you're in town, stop by. Sign up. Somehow or another, get a badge. Go. It's going to be cool. Steve just said, going to blow up ICAST. It's going to be awesome. Yeah. I'm looking for big things out of the Tackle Webs camp for ICAST. It should be awesome. But we'll an ICAST party with Fishing Florida Radio. Oh, okay, cool. Let's talk about that, buddy. Call in the show next week, and we'll discuss a party. I like parties. Actually, what's next week? No, guest. I forgot to mention my guest. Next week, Adam Hayes from YakAngler.com. He will be the guest on the show next week. My little buddy. So, cool. Awesome. What's this? Wait to see the new pictures. Oh, okay. I've heard of this event taking place. So, well, it'll be interesting. All right, gentlemen and lady, or ladies, if you're listening to the podcast, I appreciate you guys tuning in. Again, my name is Charles Levi, a.k.a. Redfish Chuck. If we're not friends on Facebook, find me under Charles Levi. There you go. Let's take a kid fishing. Tight lines, smooth seas. Take it easy, everybody. See ya. I say see ya, and I'm not even ready to get rid of my music yet. Let's try this again. Where's it at? Rob, you on it? No, I'm on it. See ya. Don't forget to check out kayakkevin.com and Mark Lozier's website, First Landing. Was it First Landing Fishing? First Landing something? Whatever. Tune into his show. That's tomorrow night, 8 o'clock. See ya.
Give me the flats of dawn with plenty of tailing fish.
And the perfect fly rod.
Yeah!
And get ready for some magic.
What an awesome eat!
Give me the flats of dawn.
Boondoggle, boondoggle, boondoggle. What the heck's a boondoggle? Check out YakAngler.com, your ultimate kayak fishing resource.